What's up, Schmodown fans? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Schmodown. I'm Star Wars competitor Andrew DiMolanta.
And I'm Mickey DiMolanta.
And we have a full week to talk about this week.
It's
weird because like we're always like, oh, this is so loud. Why is this so loud in my ears? Sorry. But yeah, it's been like weird to be like, oh, because we were used to only talking about one match a week and then all that stuff. Now we're into the tournament. Well, we had a play-in for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're releasing an exhibition. But we have two matches to talk about and a lot of other stuff too.
Yes.
I like it when you do that.
Yeah. But
yeah, they decided to release the champions match between
yes.
John Rocha, Dan Merrill, Kevin Smets, and Alex Damon this week. And we saw it when it was released on Patreon,
they
decided to release it to the public at the time. And we're not going to go into depth on it because we didn't take notes on it because we didn't think they were going to release it. And
because we watched it when it was on Patreon and we were like, we don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, but regardless, fantastic match.
Oh, much different than I thought it was going to play out.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about it, right?
Yeah, we can talk
about it. I mean, it just went live today, the day we're filming this. Friday.
But yeah, like,
spoilies.
Did the person that won, did you expect this person to win?
No. I went into this assuming mm-hmm. that it would be between Dan Merle and John Rocha.
I thought
is wrong of me to assume.
Well, it's not that far off because everybody's like, oh yeah, Dan, because it's like, how is this fair?
Well, because you figure if it's going to be a regular old mm-hmm. four-way match, it's not going to be an Intergeekdom match. It's mm-hmm. not going to be a Star Wars match. It's going to be some kind of weird mixture of all of them, which means that the majority of the match is going to be non-geek stuff.
Yeah. But so, I think they explained it. They said the question pool is like spread out enough to where there's enough Intergeekdom stuff because Alex is Intergeekdom now, so he should have a plethora of knowledge in the Intergeekdom. So
true.
I think it's just equally divided questions. And this was a fairly competitive match. I expected Alex to be like at the bottom of the
No, he kept in.
He kept in there. So
he did.
Yeah, but Kevin Smets ended up winning this match.
He did.
And I remember like saying on weeks before, it's like, don't count out Kevin Smets.
No, that dude's a beast.
Anything. The guy is a beast.
Even in a match that wasn't Intergeekdom, he still took it.
Oh yeah.
And even he took it in a four-way match where Alex Damon got Star Wars in round two, which is...
I was kind of like, of course he got it. Of course he got Star Wars. Because that's how it rolls with Damon.
Yeah.
But like anything else about this match, because I remember Rocha had that ridiculous, like his five-pointer, that pull was ridiculous.
He did. He was absolutely, I think he burned a couple of JTEs mm-hmm. and he was just like, I don't know.
He did that classic Rocha thing, like, I don't know this.
And then it was that.
And he's admitted several times that when he does that, he's not playing.
It's genuine.
It's genuine. It's like, because he always does like, it's like, oh, God. Oh, gosh. I don't know.
John is the best.
He's really cool.
Because he's a legend in this game. Yeah, he's always like, oh, God, oh, no, this category, no.
Yeah, and he, like, it's not like he's counting himself out, but he still crushes it. But, God, there's something else I wanted to talk about. With this, that I was like, oh man, it escaped me because we didn't take notes because we didn't foresee them putting stuff to the public, so we couldn't go into depth. But like, I do remember this being a very competitive match,
much more so than I thought it would
be.
So that's a fun surprise. I do hope that this becomes an annual thing.
I think that's what I wanted to mention, that like if they made this an annual, not even just exhibition, but like this is an annual thing at a live event or like a throwdown or something like that. Just something that everybody, I think it would be fun to do every year.
Well, I think it should stay an exhibition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
An exhibition, but like, don't like make it strictly for patrons. I think everybody should
see
it.
Oh, I see the angle.
It's an exhibition.
I'm picking
but,
up what you're putting down. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm saying the angle I'm coming in at is I don't think that, you know, assuming this whole faction thing continues to be a thing, I don't think that this should be a thing that counts for points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
That's what I
Absolutely
was coming
not.
At.
Because then it gets to the point of like, how fair is it?
Yeah. No.
So
it's a fun exhibition.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it is an exhibition.
Yeah, an exhibition match, but don't restrict it to patrons.
Yes.
But like, do it at like a pre-game for like a collision or something. But then again, titles might be on the line on the live event, so you don't want your competitors.
You don't want to put extra stress on them.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe
over... It's good for the Patreon because, you know, it's like, hey, you want to see who wins this? You got to be a Patreon first.
Yeah.
And then maybe,
then it releases to the public. Yeah, do it exactly the way they did.
A year later, you can see it.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. But
good move, Christian. You really know what you're doing.
That's why you run the Schmodown and we don't. Anything else we want to talk about before we get into... Obviously, the big bulk of today's conversation is to be about the play-in match between Quevedo and Cabrera.
Yes. Well, before we get into that, we should, I think, touch on the drama surrounding Mr. Brandon Hanna.
Now, you'll probably lead this conversation off because I honestly didn't watch the video. I heard it was like a million hours long and he just...
I mean, it was... No, I don't know. I don't think it was like super long. I haven't been... You know, like waited with bated breath. You know, every tweet and every video. But
I've been very like not very active on Twitter.
Because honestly,
or the Facebook group for
like it started out with you know, Brandon was on the den.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know exactly the timeline, but I guess like Kate didn't put him in the InterGeek match.
So she decided
to get me off of this team.
Yeah, she decided to put Saul in the InterGeek tournament and Ben in the InterGeekdom tournament over Hanna.
And he was like,
nah, man, I need to be in this tournament. Trade me away to another team.
So he gets put with the
Droogs.
Droogs. That's what I thought. Yeah. So he gets with the Droogs. Mm-hmm. And now, wow, funny how time works that Brandon is now facing Saul. Crazy how seeding works. Am I right, ladies?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So Brandon's now facing... Funny. Funny how that works.
Don't start the chairman. He listens to the show.
I'm just... You know, it's just funny how that works out. Because Saul's out there and he's making his smack talk videos, you know, and it's great, you know.
No, it's great.
I'm just being stupid here, but it's honestly a fantastic matchup because Brandon, like Christian has said a couple times, has everything to lose because when you're out there, you're talking that big of a game, baby boy, you better back it up. You know what I'm saying? That's why I've always told Andrew, if I ever was in the Schmodown, which I never will be because I get crushed by anything.
You never know.
Unless there was a Schmodown for memes.
You never know.
I don't think so.
You never know.
Probably not. If you ever saw me in a Schmodown, it would be in like a Star Wars Fatal 5-Way and I'd be cruising in there at fifth place. You know what I'm
you've been doing pretty well. You're getting better at our play-alongs.
I'm getting better.
You're getting a lot better at our play-alongs. If you want to see those play-alongs, they will be being available to the public every month, but patrons get them first come, like right when we drop them. So we just dropped one this past week, and it's awesome. I think this is one of my favorite play-alongs that we did.
I'm getting
better. Anyways.
At the Star Wars ones. Anyways. So, you know, Saul posts his, you know, trash talking videos. Brandon's posting his trash talking. Brandon definitely has been a bit more vocal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He posts a video on, you know, somewhere on the internet with Twitter and or Facebook. It was definitely, I think, Twitter. And he makes this video and it's all like calling out Kate and, you know, probably the den too. And, you know, trashing Kate as a manager and blah, blah, blah. Why wasn't I put in the thing? And then he also, for some reason, starts going after call to action.
Yeah, that one I don't get.
Every time we film this, I'm like, wow, I should have done my research better. No different this time because I probably should have rewatched that Brandon Hanna video. But I do remember that he went after call to action and then call to action people, you know, Paul DeNuzio.
Yeah, PLD. I watched a little bit of the
PLD,
video.
PLD. Oh, yeah. He had a response video, which was very great because somebody pointed out, wow, Brandon Hanna looked down at a script about 100 times in the middle of his video. PLD looked at a script 0 times and was popping off, baby. You know what I'm saying? He was popping. So, you know, PLD had a response. Yacovetta had a response. Mm-hmm. You know, call to action wasn't too excited about it, suffice it to say. Yeah. And then I don't know if he released another video after that. I don't feel like he did.
I think he did just comments on Twitter.
I've just been seeing a lot of things on Twitter because I saw that Christian posted something and he was like, hey, wow, crossing the line here a little bit.
He was going after the flouse.
Oh, yeah. Because he was saying, you know, Harloff's pity case or whatever word he used. I forget what term he used.
Yeah.
But going after the flouse, and it's like, first of all, not a real person.
First off, hold your... Like,
first of all, slow your roll.
Puppy break, son.
Yeah, because he's a national treasure. In Germany.
And second of all, fictional character.
And second of all, fictional character, you know? But it's like, hey, listen, give Brandon Hannah and Flouse a match. That would be pretty funny.
That'd be pretty funny.
Because I don't know how well Brandon would do in a regular singles match.
You never know.
And who knows? Maybe he'd be a good match for Flouse. Maybe not. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Everybody would win, though. But yeah, he went after Brett's character as a flirt and Flouse. And everybody's like, whoa, I was with you until this point.
It lost a lot of fans.
But, you know... He's just been popping off a lot on Twitter and, you know, saying this and saying this. God, I wish I would have screenshot stuff. But I do remember looking at some tweets after a while and I was like, oh, and then Kevin Smets went on his show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That Hitman show, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I saw that Kevin tweeted or responded to the Facebook post or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Internet. Am I right? It's all the same. But Kevin responded and he was like, wow, like I've never lost a friend live on a YouTube show before or whatever. And I didn't watch the whole video, admittedly, but I did skim through it a bit. It gets heated. You know, it's Brandon and Kevin and they're bickering back and forth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd never, in my opinion, Kevin is just more believable and Brandon just seems more like he's putting up a front.
Yeah, and this is what I was about to say, because again, this show is called Beyond the Schmodown for a reason.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten these people on that I want to get on later because, you know, we're busy with other things, but I want to get people like RB3, Nerd Chronic, things, people that are behind the scenes. And I'm thinking like a lot of this is probably just character work for Hannah, for stories, because we haven't had
assume and hope.
Yeah, because we haven't gotten a lot of story development through COVID. Because we've gotten, I think the last cutscene we got was probably the one with Gucci and the Dagnino mask thing. Was that the last one we got, or was it the Hannah one? Or no, not the Hannah one, the Chandru one.
The Chandru slow dance one?
Yeah, was that the last one we saw? Because we haven't seen a cutscene in a very long time.
It seems like forever ago.
Yeah, exactly. So there hasn't been a lot of like story work.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard to do with COVID, and I think this is an opportunity where I think... Christian might have looked at this as like, hey, we have a good storyline. You're going up against Saul in the first round.
Uh-huh.
Start talking to him, start doing this so we can get like storylines built. And I think a lot of this might, it's just that very, just that story work.
Yeah.
Because we've met Hannah loosely twice now.
Yeah, a couple times.
We've talked to him a little bit and he's a very reserved guy. He isn't, he isn't like, you know, like guy.
He's
or...
He's not, you know, loud. Well, I'm not to be like...
Boisterous.
Guy's loud, boisterous. Yeah. I mean, he can
be. When you meet him in person, he's very reserved.
Reserved is a good word.
Yeah, he's very like, he's not outspoken enough. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
From the little times we met him. But this doesn't seem like him. And this seems like almost 100% of character work. And I'm almost wondering whether like or not like he, before he put this video out, he might have like reached out to the Call to Action people and
like you
and
cool Smets. With this.
And you know, yeah, DM him's like, hey, I'm about to drop this video and it's gonna be doing all this and this and that, and just I'm wanting to let you know that this is 100% character work.
I wonder.
We're cool, and if you wanna do a response video, go ahead, it'll be great for story. I can see that happening because I don't see this being who Hannah is. I really don't
either, because it's just kind of it's gotten to the point now and it's like whatever, I'll take anything Schmodown, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care, give me all the content.
Yeah.
But it's kind of gotten to the point with Brandon where I'm kind of almost like, all right,
you're doing a little too much.
All right.
Especially the one with the Smets, because if you are Rose, it's like you really like, I know, like I take the game really seriously. And so does everybody else. Like everybody, especially new people coming in, they take it really, really seriously. But to go as far to lose a friend, that's a little too much. If me and Goddard were going up against each other in like Inner Geekdom or something, I would not want to like say something or go on, have him on this show or go on to one of his show and they're like, hey man, you know,
screw you, man,
whatever. And then like, all right, our friendship's done because like we have a great time with Goddard.
He's the best.
So like, I wouldn't want to sacrifice what we've gained with him like over the internet because we've only hung out with him once.
For the sake of, you know, entertainment.
Yeah, for the sake of entertainment. I want him to do that.
So it should be character work is basically
exactly.
what you're saying.
Yeah.
I would hope so too. And I would assume so because, you know,
yeah.
it's a show.
Yeah. And yeah.
And I would be very shocked if this were real.
And you said, because you said you watched the thing with Smets and he said like, yeah, it's kind of like Smets is far more believable than what Hannah's doing.
I find Smets more intimidating.
Oh, no. I think Smets is fantastic in the cutscenes. And
yeah.
he has such a great handle on not only the competition, but everything else outside of the competition. Like
yeah.
character work, the trash talk. Mm-hmm. And like he's broken kayfabe. I'm not sure.
I'm not a fan of that word anymore. Everyone throws it around
I'm not so sure I'm using that term correctly, but he breaks character once or twice while he's
so
on the desk.
Often.
Every so often he'll break character.
Every so often.
But it's very few and far between. But he's really good at staying in character most
he
of the
is.
Time. So that's why I just think it's for show. And rightfully so, if they want to like take it so seriously. Because like, there's me and then there's the Hunter persona.
Mm.
And the line between those two is very thin for me, at least. Especially when I get heated. But like, I can tell you when the Hunter ends and Andrew begins. It's very obvious when that happens. And like... when you talk to me outside the Schmodown or where I'm on all the podcasts, you really don't get the Hunter. You get Andrew.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you haven't really
yeah,
had
and I,
much
yeah,
opportunity
and I had
to
much
do
opportunity
character
to,
work,
to, yeah, exactly.
to be fair.
So I'm a bad example. Don't put yeah. ignore everything I just said.
To be honest.
But yeah, so. Yeah,
because I know there's yeah. a lot of people that have been in the comments like, Hannah, is this real? Like,
I doubt it is.
I doubt it is. I mean, 99% of me, the logical part of me is like, nah, it's a show. Duh.
Yeah.
But then the 1% of me is like, he's really not letting go of this.
Yeah.
But then again, you look at somebody like Guy, and he's so dedicated to his
yeah.
character. So,
and
it's
yeah,
you know,
and people like Kalinowski, like sometimes it's hard to like, wow, is that really how he is? And we've met him, and he's so cool and
that's
so nice.
One
and,
thing that it would be like a good, just like if there's no match to talk about, mm-hmm. that would be a good topic of conversation. Is the blurred line between fantasy and reality in the Schmodown?
Yeah,
and how difficult it is to deal with that as a competitor, mm-hmm. coming from a non-competitor saying that, but as somebody watching somebody who is a competitor,
yeah.
deal with stuff.
We'll have somebody on. Maybe we'll have Mike on.
Maybe because I can't. That's another reason I could never be a competitor is because
yeah.
I would have a really hard time separating. You know what? Let's not even go into that. We could talk. We'll save that
talk.
For another show.
We'll do that for another
because
show.
Because we could go.
Yeah.
You know, for
so,
a long time.
So anything else before we get into the bulk of the conversation?
Not so much because the other talking point I have is kind of related to the tournament.
Hmm.
So let's get into
yeah. So we'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk about it after.
Quabedo mm-hmm. versus. Oh, excuse me. Josh, the jester, Quabedo versus Andres Ace Cabrera.
And this is the play-in match to get into the Star Wars tournament.
It's
winner
that
goes
time
on
of
to
year, ladies and gentlemen.
Ken Napsok in the first round.
Yes. So we've got Josh with the rock stars, mm-hmm. with Ace and Swag. So the one thing that I loved in the promos was that Winston said that he'd love to take that L because Roxy was talking about the L that he gave her figuratively and. Literally and metaphorically in their last match. And she was talking about the L. And Winston was like saying how he'd love to take that L back. But, you know, Roxy, Winston starts with W. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To which I was like, hey, man, go a step further. Winston starts with win.
Yeah. That was a missed opportunity.
Your door was wide open, son. Anyways, he was right in either case.
Yeah.
So, round one. Interesting that we went for 10 questions instead of 6.
Yeah, that was something that surprised me because they made a big to-do to like, hey, we're switching up an alteration. Maybe this is just for the play-in. I don't know.
Either that or maybe it's just because it's a tournament and they want to have it be more
too.
Traditional.
Yeah, but like the whole point of them doing 6 questions in the first than 10, I always, from my understanding, was to save questions because everybody always argues there's and it's true, there's a limited amount of questions you can ask.
It's true, but read Wikipedia. There's so much.
Yeah. But like, I get it. If it is, then that's more opportunity for points. So I think that's what it boils down to.
I mean, we'll see. Next week, we'll see if there's still 10 questions for like the main matches or if it was just for the play-in.
Yeah.
Something tells me that it's just a thing for the tournament because it's a tournament.
Yeah.
So, Josh and Ace, they both got perfect rounds.
Yeah.
They both got the bonus question. Mm-hmm. So by the end of round one, it was 11 to 11.
Yeah. And this trend of first round questions
being first round questions
continues over into this tournament because, I mean, we've talked to death on the show that, like, you know, this season, a lot of people are getting perfect rounds. And I don't want to, because we discussed it before, and that's a good way to say, not that they're easier questions anymore. I think referring to them as first round questions is it's a perfect example of how to approach that.
Round one questions or round one questions?
They're round one questions.
That's all
exactly.
It is. Yeah. I really had a hard time saying that just then. So round two.
What is that? Ginger ale. What is that?
Oh, no, baby. You tell me. So round two. Joshua the Jester Quevedo goes first. Mm-hmm. He spins heroes and villains.
Okay.
Yes. You're going exactly where I think you're going.
Yes.
And I know that this was already rectified, but proceed.
So on SEN this past week, so when he spun his category, it stopped. This is the problem. Problems of digital wheel is it stopped directly in the middle of two categories. And what he was able to do was, all right, you either pick this category or this category. And I immediately went, whoa,
no.
whoa. You've never been able to do that. Mm-hmm. This actually happened in a live event at a celebration one time.
Really?
Yeah, it did.
Was it Celebration Orlando?
I think it was Orlando. It might have been Orlando because it was the same type of wheel. And it's like, oh, it's like that. And then at the last second, went,
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
So,
I think it was,
like,
Orlando.
This happened before, and like they didn't. It's like, oh, well, I guess we'll do it. But what Christian had said that they're doing is there's an actual indicator on the software they're using. It says, all right, it actually spun this. They're going to go with that. And you're just going to have to trust them on that.
Which I'm glad for, because
glad.
I just feel like it.
That was
that whole, if it lands in the, because it happened, what, twice in the match?
It happened twice.
Which is like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like if you do that and people get to choose, then somebody's going to get butt hurt when they lose and be like, well, you know, it's because he had to
choose
this
category.
Imagine if somebody gets, you know, A New Hope or Weapons, Vehicles, and Technology. And they're like, oh yeah, give me A New Hope. I've seen that about 87 bazillion times.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the person that lost is like, well, that's not fair. You know, weapons, vehicles, and technology might have been harder. And they got to pick. So, you know, it eliminates room for people to, it eliminates complaints. You hope.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before. I think, in my eyes, the fairest way to do it without a wheel was names out of a bowl. Categories out of the bowl.
I agree.
In front of the camera and it's fully transparent. It's like, this is your category. Nope. Okay. All right. There's your category. I think the digital wheel is a more of an opportunity for them to spin on the same category.
Because computers are so precise.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that and the names out of the bowl thing.
I feel like people could complain about that too. Because if you don't fold it back up just so, you could feel the one that you put back in there.
And I think that's why they're not doing it. But I think the other fairest way to do it is actually have a wheel behind somebody and like, hey, here you go, and spin it. But I don't know.
There's no right answer in these circumstances.
I just hate the digital wheel so much because, you know, I have my own experience with the digital wheel, but like, I don't know. It's just, I don't like it. I know this is the only fair, like, I don't want to do air quotes, but like, that's the fairest way to do it. And I understand why they're doing it. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Tis what it is.
Yeah. But
you,
like,
know what I'm saying?
That them letting them choose their, if this happened in like maybe a final round, I'll be like, whoa, hold on a second.
Oh my God.
No.
Imagine if that,
no.
If they did that in like the betting round of a championship match.
So if this would have happened in my match, I would have said, flip a coin.
Yeah.
Whatever it lands on, he doesn't get to choose. You randomize it, flip a coin, heads this, heads tails that, and then he gets whatever is flipped.
Yeah.
That's the way I would have handled that situation. So.
Well, moot point, because
it's a moot point.
Their software tells them what slice it was on. So Josh gets heroes and villains.
Villains.
So, you know, bit of a rocky round for Mr. Quevedo.
Yeah,
so
this is
one. I think his first question was about the beginning of Last Jedi. Sorry, everybody. Usually in other matches, you get a bit more of a shallow dive into the game. This one's going to be a little
bit deeper.
It's going to
be deep. Because, you know, obviously.
Sorry.
Obviously.
Sorry. So it's, you know, beginning of Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. What's the silly name that he calls Hux instead of Hux? And it was Hugs.
General
as in,
Hugs.
You know, you hug your mama.
Yeah.
So he misses it. Doesn't go to multiple choice. Ace steals it.
Yeah.
gets 2 points of a steal. Mm-hmm. Huge.
It's a big steal.
Huge.
Yeah.
Which member of the Rogue One crew dies while detonating something? Cheer it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go to multiple choice.
The Master Switch,
it
yeah.
It got stolen. Now Ace has four free points.
4 point steals, yeah.
The next question that he missed was about, a man named Tyrannus on the, location mm-hmm. was recruited.
One of the moons of Bogdan, yeah.
Yeah, and the answer was moons of Bogdan. I believe Josh said Kamino.
Yes, he said Kamino.
And then Ace said the moons of Bestoon, which...
He probably had Rise of Skywalker in the brain.
Yeah. But it was moons of Bogdan. So Josh got lucky that wasn't stolen, mm-hmm. especially because it would have been another big fat 2 points.
Yeah, and this is his first three questions, right?
It appears so.
Jeez.
Then he gets a question about who calls disguised Leia fearless and inventive, and it was Jabba. He finally remembers to go to multiple choice. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing where I'd like to make a note.
Yes.
So before this question, I believe it was right before this question, Christian was like, oh yeah, and by the way, I see Roxy, because the managers are in the waiting room or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And he kind of goes, I see Roxy wanting to say something, whatever. And then he goes, just to remind the competitors about their multiple choice.
I think she
whatever.
Wrote, because there's a private chat for the room.
Oh.
And I think she might have been typing in the
Because she's probably
chat.
Muted so that she's not, and managers aren't in the announcer's ears.
Yeah.
I'm nitpicking.
Yeah.
Which everybody does, and I'm going to apologize in advance. But one thing that I just, and I understand that it was a play-in match, and it's two rookies to the division. Ace is not, Ace is a rookie. It's his first year.
No, he's played a while back.
Ah, crap. Yeah, you're right. Never mind. Ace is Ace. Not a rookie.
Race.
Ace is not a rookie.
Yeah.
But
he's a rookie to the division.
His debut in the Star Wars division. Yeah. So, in essence, they're both rookies and debuting. In the middle of a round, your manager doesn't get to come up to you mm-hmm. and say, hey, you're not going multiple choice and you're missing a lot of points.
Yeah.
Make sure you go to multiple choice. That doesn't happen in the middle of any other round.
But to that argument, I would say that I think in that if it was a lie where everybody was in the same room, I think she would be talking to Christian and not to her competitor. So she's not breaking the rules. You know what I mean? She wouldn't be reminding him. She'd be like, hey, Christian, you're not reminding him that multiple choice is an option.
But one thing you said while we were discussing this that I thought was a great point
is,
it's not up to the announcers to coach and manage the players. That's up to their managers to coach and manage the players. That's something you do when you're preparing for the match.
Yeah.
Something that Andrew said, he brought up the whole thing that the announcers aren't the ones that are coaching the players.
Yeah.
Oh no.
You forgot what I was
lost my train of thought. Hold on. No, I'm going to get there. Hold on. Oh, because you said, had Josh just missed Moons of Bogdan.
Yeah.
Christian might be like, ooh, another big miss. Surprised he didn't go to multiple choice there.
Yeah. Sort
that could be an indirect way of if you really feel that you need to help them along.
Yeah.
That could be a roundabout way.
It's like, hey, don't forget, you have multiple choice.
Nudging you a little bit. Yeah. Don't forget, because I know this is your first match.
Yeah.
I know I'm nitpicking. I know I'm kind of being a jerk here.
I mean.
But, I was just thinking about it. Like, you never get to interrupt the match before. I mean, but to be fair, I'm thinking if you're in if you're in a studio match,
mm-hmm.
she could have been in the, where everybody sits and being like, multiple choice.
Yeah.
In the background. Yeah. So, I'm probably wrong. Let's move on.
Well, no, but let's, because, I've always been on this, because whenever, Christian actually steps in and, hey, don't forget you have multiple choice, and he straight up tells the competitor,
he's doing the right thing. He's
doing a nice thing, but my opinion has always been, they tell you the rules before the round starts, so it's up to you to remember that. And, if you're not paying attention, then that's your fault.
I'm guessing that the reason for it is, mm-hmm. I know this is this guy's first match.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily see that happening in more seasoned matches.
Yeah, that's true too.
So maybe it was because I'm nitpicking.
And, yeah.
I'm just being a jerk here.
But yeah, because wow, I lost my train of thought.
Whoops.
Yeah, but this is a tough, tough second round for him because
it was.
He was looking really good after the first and then he hits this wall in the second and it's wow, it makes the question, how much time did they have? Because Roxy just picked this kid up. So, like, how much time did they have prepare for this
match? He was
part
of that free agent thing, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And he's been sitting in the wings because he was on, what, the Droogs?
Yeah.
He was on the Droogs. So and he's been sitting in the wings waiting for this.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say, like, was Burnett prepping him for, like, a possible match coming up soon? Or was he just like, oh, he's there. I know he's there.
We'll get to him eventually.
Yeah, we'll get to him eventually. And then Roxy picks him up in the midst of this announcement of this big tournament. And
out of nowhere,
out of
almost.
Nowhere, and like how much time? Because like she's got to worry about the IG competitors too.
Exactly.
So like, how much do you prepare for this kid? And like, it's like, wow, like you obviously didn't have enough time to prepare him because he forgot multiple choice
and
several times.
It sucks.
And he burned all of his JTEs in the second round. So it's like, wow.
Yeah, I think 2-on-1 question, then 1-on-another.
Yeah, I think that's
something
the case.
Like that.
So
it sucks because Roxy, I feel like she's been taking a lot of heat because of this.
Yeah,
you know, nobody's really pointing the finger at Josh, probably because he's a rookie and this was his debut match.
Yeah.
So everyone's looking to Roxy like, "You're the manager. Why didn't you prepare him? Why didn't you coach him? Why didn't you tell him?" And it's like, listen, she might have.
Yeah.
I actually was just looking at something. Roxy had her live show, Live at the Roxy, with Ben Goddard on it. And I saw that somebody had commented on it like, oh, you know, Roxy's catching a lot of flack for this. And Roxy kind of alluded to, you know, I was trying to prepare him on a live stream or whatever, and he didn't seem very interested. He seems to be asking more questions about Twitch and how it works and the technical stuff, not so much like strategy and schmodown prep.
So,
don't know how true that is.
Yeah, and that it seems like she's defending herself, but also almost like
putting him down.
It's like, look, I tried. It's his fault that he didn't listen. But it's like, well, then it's your job as manager. Like, don't worry about that. You need to focus on this.
Yeah.
Don't forget your He's like, he obviously remembered to use JTEs. He's like, don't forget multiple choice.
Yeah.
Because you're giving away points at that point.
Yeah.
So.
Four huge points.
Four huge points.
It wouldn't have ended the way, I mean, obviously it wouldn't have ended the way it did. But,
yeah.
You know, it wouldn't have ended in the fashion that it ultimately did. Yeah. If you catch my drift, we'll get there. So, you know, rough round.
Yeah, it was a very rough round for him.
Ace spins the Force Awakens. He, there was a question about what planet gets destroyed by Star Killer Base.
Yeah, what the planet that Corsella and the Lemur Villicum.
Hosnian Prime. He missed it. I think he said the Hosnian system, which is not a planet.
Mm-hmm.
Missed it, but luckily for him, Josh did not steal it. Then there was a question about an action figure from a character that was in The Force Awakens. I do personally believe this was a pretty deep cut.
Yes.
It was a person that was visible for parts
like,
of the
like
Nima
outpost,
Jakku chase.
Yeah.
And Constable Zuvio was the answer. He went to multiple choice. He got it. Mm-hmm. So good job to Ace. Don't know if it was a guess or an educated guess or whatever, but doesn't matter. You know, you get it.
Yeah.
Then the last question was about I never get the pronunciation. Abednego.
Again, I don't know if that's the correct way of saying it. That's just how I pronounce it. Abednego.
Because I feel like there was a character, like, character's probably not the right word for somebody in the Bible, but Abednego.
A person?
Yeah. Because there was a
character in the Bible.
Character in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I remember it from a play I was in. Shadrach. Who had a name like that?
Somebody went to a private school. Guess
I went to a private Episcopalian school. I did a lot of church songs.
Public school all the way.
You know? We have our differences. So, Abednego.
Yes.
Something about that. The name, the answer
name
was Eloasti.
Eloasti.
And he went to multiple choice. He didn't get it. It was stolen. Josh got it. And he,
you remember
Josh,
who he said? Ace?
I don't remember who he said. I don't remember. Because I don't remember if the multiple choices were all other Abednego people or if it was other random people.
I don't remember them being. I don't know. I'd have to do the choices again.
I don't know. All I know is that Josh stole it. So by the end of round two, it's 15-20 in favor of Ace.
Yeah.
Woof. So round three, 2-pointer for Josh, Return of the Jedi. Who dismisses Luke as a Jedi? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was Han when he's like, you know, waking up.
Oh, as Delusions of Grandeur?
Oh, yes. That was the... I just punched the microphone. Yes, that was...
I don't think they heard that, but...
That was the one.
That's what these shock absorbers are for.
I felt it. He got it. Three-pointer for Josh. Revenge of the Sith.
Mm.
This one. Oh, that's yeah. Right. So Let's talk about this.
There's a huge... We have a huge... A lot. I have a lot to talk about in this.
First Jedi executed after Order 66. And obviously the answer is Ki-Adi-Mundi.
So I guess...
I feel bad even talking about it because, again, it's been rectified post-game.
So... Yeah, let's get into that just so we can talk about this.
Just so we can get it out of our systems, really. We just need to talk about it
out loud. No. The whole outcome of it. So
let's keep going. We'll jump back to this. We'll talk about Ki-Mundi later. Yeah. So he gets it.
He accepts. It's accepted.
He gets it. There was a challenge. We'll circle back.
Yeah, we'll circle back.
Two-pointer for Ace, the Phantom Menace, who says you Jedi are far too reckless, and he got it.
Mm-hmm.
Five-pointer back to Josh. The name of the pal that inspires Han in realm Solo. Of heroes.
Oh, in Hero? I thought it was Solo.
Heroes is what I wrote down.
Ignore me.
Name of the pal that inspires Han to pull off a crazy maneuver during Kessel, and it was Needles. Oh. So, the initial score at the end of this was 20-22 in favor of Swag and Ace.
So, 2 points to Swag.
So, 2 points to Swag for that win. However.
However.
Things went down after the match ended.
Because after he answered Ki-Mundi or Ki...
it was like a Ki-Mundi-ish. Is kind of
I see what he was going for because he was trying to... I almost 100% think that he was trying to say Ki-Adi-Mundi.
I mean, yeah.
But he was trying to rush and went Ki-Adi-Mundi. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but nonetheless, the Christian heard it as Ki-Mundi. And for some reason... Like, so first off, Winston challenges that he didn't get the answer in time. He was overruled. And it's like, well, now he's just said Ki-Mundi. And the guy's name is Ki-Adi-Mundi.
It was Winston that threw out the challenge that he didn't get it in on time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on the heels of that discussion tattering off, Ace was like, well, Benny also didn't say Ki-Adi-Mundi.
Yeah.
Ace seemed like he was ready to kind of brush it away. I'm not sure how much of that was him just acting cavalier or actually being cavalier.
No, I think he was just trying to brush off like, well, whatever, I'll get my 3 and my 5 and we'll
I think he felt pretty confident in either case, but it spawned a conversation between us where, I don't know, maybe I'm just in a nitpicky mood this week. I think I am because I did it at work a couple times this week too.
I personally think that these are valid concerns and arguments that we're about to talk about.
Yes. Potentially. And also
yes.
So the first thing that we were talking about was Winston, and again, I apologize in advance because we're about to split hairs here probably. Sorry. So Winston challenges, did he get it in on time? Challenge more or less.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was more like no, you don't get to challenge that. Yeah. I'm saying that he was in.
Yeah.
Or if it was like, your challenge is no.
Yeah.
You didn't get it. Your challenge is, you know.
It's done. Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly which one it was.
I think in the moment it was more like, no, it's not a challengeable thing, so don't even bother. I think in the moment. And then they're like, well, then
we're going to challenge this.
We're going to challenge this. Ha ha.
So. Which, you know, if that's the way it was, then cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's live. It's live, so you can't
really... It's harder.
Yeah.
For you know, argument's sake, you know, because it's just fun sometimes in a safe environment to argue.
Safety behind our mics. Christian isn't staring at us.
Well, I'm not saying. The right thing was done. Ultimately, the right thing was done.
Yeah.
I'm just being a jerk here.
Yeah.
So... You know, let's say Winston did issue that challenge that he didn't get it in on time. And he lost the challenge. And then Ace just kind of happens to throw in there about the Ki-Adi-Mundi thing. I kind of draw an analogy between that. A very loose analogy.
I mean, yeah.
Between that and like sports. Because... I mean,
it's a valid argument because we're trying to treat this as much as a sport as possible. And the only comparison we really have is to like calls in football, calls in basketball, yeah, and baseball, and things like that.
Because it's like, if you already burned your challenge, mm-hmm, you're done. You don't get to say anything else. Mm-hmm. Ki amundi, ki mundi, wrong.
Yeah.
And we all agree on that at this point. Mm-hmm. It is wrong, but if you already burned your challenge,
you shouldn't be able to.
You really shouldn't be able to. You shouldn't, mm-hmm, be able to reap the reward of an error like that. Mm-hmm. I told Andrew, I played basketball for several years, you know, mm-hmm, in my youth. And I'm not going to lie, I fouled people all the time on purpose.
Ooh,
but you
Denny's
do it
dirty.
You do it the right way so that they don't know when you're doing it.
Do it the right way. If you don't get caught, it's not illegal.
Exactly. So if I foul somebody, but the ref didn't see it, did it actually happen? No. I'm not getting ejected. So obviously it's fine. So air quotes.
It's for our audio listeners.
So it's kind of a loose comparison. Mm-hmm. You know, if you already lost your challenge, and that's the rule of the schmodown, mm-hmm, you get one challenge. If it's overruled and you lose it, you don't get to challenge anything else.
Yeah, so this thing that they did retroactively shouldn't have happened at all, in what you're saying.
Loosely.
Yeah.
I do, like I said, I will assert that I do think the right thing happened. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yes.
You know, I'm just arguing for the sake of arguing because it's fun to think about.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like... Yeah. Was that time challenge a challenge that, mm-hmm, was overruled or not? And it was just kind of like, nah, get out of here. You're my actual challenge that we issued was. And it's just complicated so much by the fact that we're not in person.
Yeah.
And it's hard to navigate. Mm-hmm. I think for the first live stream Twitch match,
it went pretty
well. I think it went swimmingly.
Yeah. And to bum off your comment of it comparing to sports, like in football, like the coach was like, hey, I want to challenge it. And the ref will go like, what do you want to challenge? It's like, oh, I want to challenge this. And the ref will be like, no, that you can't challenge that. It's like, oh, okay, cool. And they just back off and the coach still has their challenge.
Yeah.
And the challenge doesn't go through because the ref reminds the coach, like, yeah, no, that's not a challengeable offense.
Which might have been what happened.
Yeah.
In that case, then, mm-hmm, yeah, you still have your challenge. Yeah. Challenge Ki Mundi all day, yeah, every day. So, I don't know. It's, mm-hmm, just, you know, something, mm-hmm, I was thinking about because I wasn't honestly sure what happened with that, mm-hmm, first.
Yeah, it was
challenge.
It was a little like wonky how that all went down. But my bigger concern with this challenge,
yeah,
is that when Ki Amundi was challenged, and the actual correct answer is Ki Adi Mundi, because Ki Adi Mundi is his full name. It's not like Adi is his middle name. It's not Qui-Jin. It's Qui-Gon Jin.
Obi Kenobi.
Yeah, so like.
Or Luke Walker.
Because my concern is that when it was challenged, Christian did his thing and he conferred with the writers and everybody else behind the scenes. And he said, well, it's in the document. I conferred with the writers. They say it's correct.
They're confident in
their spreadsheet
their answer, or whatever.
I'm going with Ki Mundi. And the fans go wild because like everybody knows that is the wrong answer. I would argue to say that even Christian knows that's the wrong answer. But I think he's trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? He's trying to back his writers up by saying as he should. I mean, I do not envy the writers at all.
No,
they
God,
have
no.
probably the toughest job in the entire Schmodown.
Yeah.
To determine what questions are harder, what questions to put where. But my concern is that I don't know how big of a fan, big of Star Wars fans the writers are, and how much more they know about Star Wars than the competitors do. And my concern is that because the difference between right and wrong, especially in Star Wars, is paper thin, even thinner. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a word here, like
a letter
a letter there can determine whether you're right or wrong. And if the writers don't do the proper research or go deep enough into the research, that can determine whether you get the question wrong or right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't want to be in that situation where I know 100% what I said was right, but since Christian is going with the writers and like all that, and like, and in the moment he's like, no, the writer said this. I have they're confident that they know what they know the answer is right. And I would be livid if that ends up costing me the match, because
it was a crazy moment. In my opinion, mm-hmm, to hear Ki Mundi is, mm-hmm, correct and the writers are confident in it.
Yeah.
It's like a quick... Andrew actually Googled Ki Mundi and Ki Adi Mundi
showed up.
Showed up.
Like he's the top like 12 answers on Google. Just when you type in Ki Mundi or Ki Mundi? It's like, oh, did you mean Kiati Mundi?
Yeah. The bright side about all of this is that, like we said before, with whatever we were talking about before, it's a moot point because
it ultimately led back to
a statement
the
right was released that, hey, listen, we made a boo-boo. And Ki Adi Mundi was the correct answer.
Yeah.
The points will not be awarded. So, that technically, I believe,
gives them three
makes
points.
It a TKO for swag.
Yeah.
Which has to burn for the rock stars. Not that it really hurts
not
them
really.
So much.
Who I think is the most...
Just on principle, really.
The people that I think that are the most angry with this decision is the Den. They are now in third place while swag has taken over second. And they're right on the Finstock Heels exchange.
Like 3 points behind or something like that?
Yes. Everybody wants to like, oh, the Finstock exchange, there's nobody's going to catch them. Like, they're 3 points behind.
They're right there.
These tournaments will most definitely shake up the standings.
For sure. But, and it's not the end of it either because we still got, you know, teams and singles tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. So
you know, there's still a lot more season there to go. That was hard.
And this point of like the challenges, because like challenges are such a huge contention this season. Is that like the fact that these matches are live now? It's like it worries me that Christian doesn't want to go that extra little bit because hey, we got to wrap this up because we're live. It's like, well, no, a lot is riding on this. This isn't like some tournament where hey, we're just having a Star Wars tournament, just have a Star Wars tournament. It's like, no, the winner of this gets a title shot.
Yeah,
and that means a lot to a lot of people, myself included.
Yeah.
So, like, if that's the case, you need to go that extra mile to make sure that the decisions made is ultimately the correct one.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I know from my vantage point, I'd much rather sit in the audience and wait a couple minutes for, I mean, I understand, you know, time is money. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, I would much rather sit and wait for a couple of minutes while something is researched and have, you know, a nice thorough investigation of the challenge rather than like no, we're good, that's what we got.
Yeah, because like just to shoot it off like that, it's like, well,
but you know, it was the first live we gotta kind of cut some slack here. Who knows if something like this will happen again.
I would argue that it won't because now that we're actually in the tournament, everybody is so like on point that I don't think we'll get like a shady answer.
I mean,
shady answer,
might
but like
I remind you of Coltec, right?
That's true too. I think I hope that the writers have looked back at past matches.
Yeah.
And look like, well, we can't go into this question because of, and that's why I'm worried that like maybe the writers aren't as big into canon as canon junkies as the rest of us are in this competition, because arguably everybody in this tournament are huge canon junkies. They watch and
they
read.
They wouldn't be here
everything.
If they weren't.
Exactly. So it's like, where do you, and I said this as much in my last post-match interview, where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
So, and it's just one of those things.
Star Wars is a...
It's a unique beast. It's an absolute
It runs beast. Deep, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So if they just, I don't know. If they stick to questions that don't have those gray areas with the canon, I think they'll be fine. But once you start venturing into those areas, it gets a little muddy.
Yeah,
And you definitely, especially when you get to the later rounds in the tournament, you're going to have to start digging deeper because you got to cut through the weeds and find that diamond who's going to take on Alex.
Yeah.
Because if we get deeper into the tournament and the questions are still like surface level.
Muddy. Oh.
Like surface level questions.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And they're not like deeper cuts. Then it's like...
You're just handing Alex points.
You're just handing Alex points at this point. So
yeah,
those are my concerns. And again, everything about this stream was almost flawless.
It went very well.
It went better than expected because like Christian was like, oh, maybe like 600 people will tune in. There's like 2,000...
1 point something.
I think
1.7, I want
to say. No, I think he said that it was close to 2,000 people watching. Mm. So
rounding up
and the whole bringing in people after the match, I actually really enjoyed that.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. It adds a new angle for fans, a new incentive for fans because who wouldn't want to,
and it's great.
Know,
and that's
talk face to face with someone that they're a fan of.
And Twitch is the prime platform for that because Twitch is all about interaction and like bringing in your audience and things like that. So yeah.
Be going really long here.
No, we're good.
Oh, cool.
We're good.
Cool. We're good. Cool.
So, what did you think of Ace's performance in this match? He actually ended up surprising me in this. I was like, wow, okay, cool. Because like, compared to his inner geekdom match, it's like, wow.
Well, Ace, I mean, Ace said from the get-go that he feels more comfortable in Star Wars. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Which definitely seemed like the case. He seemed very laid back. He seemed very comfortable, mm-hmm. confident, loose, you know, whatever other words you want to use to describe it. He was looking good when he started. I think he did a very respectable job. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Now the question becomes...
Does he have what it takes to go up against Ken?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
I mean, granted, that's not the next match coming up, so I don't know if you want to...
He's got a while.
I don't know if you want to, like, go into that right now. Hmm. But that... It does raise the question of, okay, well, now you get to climb Mount Kenneth. Manjaro. That was weird. That I'm was sorry. Weird. I apologize. Now you get to go against...
Yeah, I mean, he...
Kylo Ken.
Kylo, yeah. I mean, he did a respectful job. He got some really big steals.
And the I don't want to get too far into this match because it's not the next one, but it's like Ring Rust. Is that a thing with Ken? Mm-hmm. He has raw knowledge. Oh, yeah. It's still Ken. Mm-hmm. He still has his mind's a steel trap for Star Wars.
He talks Star Wars. Like when they record Force Center, I think I talked to him about this. They record like up to like 6 hours in one day. What? So they're I could be wrong. But like I remember a conversation that I had with him. It was like, yeah, we record a lot in one day. I'm like, Jesus, wow.
I remember not having kids.
We get it. You don't have kids.
We get it.
But Ace did really well in this. I think it's just nerves might have been a factor for a couple, because he said that, like, I used to know that. And
yeah, they both said that at one point.
To that point, I will say used to ain't gonna cut it in this tournament, buddy.
No.
If that comes up. You know, that granted, that question is probably not going to be asked again in this tournament, but if there's anything like that in your head, might want to revisit it, because used to is not going to win you this tournament. Because at this point, because the plane was sort of like a toss up, like, oh, we never seen Kevedo compete ever, we never seen Ace compete.
I think it was a total toss up.
It was a total toss up. So this is like, oh, we wonder how we know what everybody is capable of in this tournament. We've seen everybody play.
We've got some more than others, but we've got tape on everybody.
We've got tape on everybody. And like Adam Witt and Sean Sullivan are...
And Molly.
And Molly are sort of wild, of course, because we've only seen them compete once. But, you know, Molly's not one to be underestimated because wife of the champion. Adam Witt and Sean Sullivan, they were called in last minute. So who knows that, you know, there's more knowledge floating around in their heads and they've had time to prepare. So there are no, I said going into this tournament, there are no knockouts in this tournament.
No, I don't think there's going to be any knockouts or TKOs.
But so shows you how much I know that there's a knockout. We just saw a knockout. I'm going on record. I would almost put money in the bank saying that there are no knockouts going in from this point on.
I would bet money that there's not going to be any TKOs or knockouts. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, if you are one that says, oh, why is Star Wars a league? Why is Star Wars its own division?
Watch this tournament, you'll get your answer.
You'll be like, oh, that's why. Because, it's a small division. Yeah, there's like, what, 10 of us? Like nine of us
something
in this division?
Like that.
There's nine of us in this division. Maybe there's one waiting in the wings, but every single one of us has a chance for the belt. There's no denying that. So if you're wondering, like, what is Star Wars' own division? Watch this tournament. You will be answered exactly why. Because every match, I can almost guarantee, will be drag out.
I do believe that's
the case. I can see every single one of these matches going to sudden death. I can honestly see that.
I think that's a tall order.
It's a tall order, but it can most definitely happen. I can almost say maybe two matches in the first round will go to sudden death.
Could.
So.
This is going to be an exciting tournament. Mm-hmm. And... I mean, should not sleep on the Star Wars League. And also, Twitch.
Oh, man.
Sorry, you got to hunt for it, bro.
It went better than you expected. There's a lot of people watching. So
I mean, they dug around for that link, and they really hunted for it. Maybe they found it. They really excavated the internet, and they somehow unearthed it.
Oh, they went on to Christian's tweet and clicked the button?
Oh, my God. I don't know how I found it.
I don't know how I got there.
It took me a long time to find that match. Well, I got there.
But, But yeah, so as far as Josh Cavedo goes, I don't think we've seen the last of him. It's hard to come into a play-in and to go up against somebody like Ace for your first match, and on such short notice too, because this was this got announced 3 weeks ago, 2 to 3 weeks ago. It's like, oh wow, I guess I'm competing.
And
now.
You like just got traded.
So like a lot of stuff happened. So there's so many factors going into this match for Cavedo. I don't think the potential is there. It's just like. You got to polish him up a little bit. You got to coach him up a little bit.
Like, and I'm just curious if what was said in that comment about Roxy's stream about him being kind of uninterested, I wonder how much validity there is to that statement. I'm reading a comment about a it's a comment about a video that someone's commenting on somebody else, like, you know.
So many degrees
of separation. So it's kind of like, how true is it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't, based on his performance, I don't think it's the last we've seen of him. But is he wanting to come back? I mean, I don't know. In the post-match interview, he probably said he would. So yeah. I don't think it's the last we've seen of him.
I don't think he should step away. Again, this division is already so small, so we need to keep the competitors we have.
Yeah.
Just to make it
grow. Otherwise,
you're
going to end up with me. So, no, don't do it.
The Huntress coming in. Watch out.
Oh, yeah.
The Huntress. I like that.
Huntress.
Hashtag the Huntress. But anyways, so oh god, where were we going with that? So anything else with this match that we want to get into? Because like we hit some of the biggest points of the challenge.
We vented a lot just for funsies.
Sorry,
I'm sorry. I'm just nitpicking.
I think these are valid concerns to have because this tournament is the first of its kind, really.
Yeah.
A live tournament on Twitch.
Previous to this, it's always been like you get one match, you get your shot at the belt.
Yeah.
This is the first time anyone has to go through a gauntlet to get to Alex.
Exactly. So you're really testing these competitors.
Unprecedented. Yeah.
And you, like, I would argue, like I said it before, the difference between a correct answer and a wrong answer is razor thin in these questions. That could, and the difference between competitors is razor thin. Because we all know Star Wars. We all love Star Wars. And I would say that this tournament isn't to determine who loves Star Wars the most.
No.
Or who knows the most about Star Wars. Or like, well, it is technically who knows most about Star Wars. But like...
To an extent.
But like, because there's, you know, gameplay comes to effect.
Strategy.
And strategy and knowing when to use your repeats.
Nerves.
And nerves. Like,
because
all that.
People have missed questions that the answers are in their brain. Yeah. It just, you know, fizzed out for a minute.
Yeah, you see it all the time in this division where like the answer comes and like, oh, no,
so
I knew that.
I don't necessarily think it's like, well, it's person one, so they know more.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No,
it's just that either you caught them in a blind spot.
Or you just had a bad day.
On a bad day.
Yeah.
Or it's in their brain and it's just, they just can't see it in their brain that day. Maybe if you had asked them that a couple weeks ago, they would have said it on
like,
the spot.
Oh, yeah, that.
But, you know, having Christian staring at you, counting down, makes you go, oh no, who is Luke's dad?
Game pressure is a thing, people. I mean, it's totally, I was nervous in my audition. I've said this several times before, that I miss questions in my audition that I have no idea why I missed them. Because it's like, because
you got Christian staring at you.
And it was, you know, it's just me and Christian on a Skype call. I was like, hey, dummy, answer this question in 5, 4. Like,
no.
Oh no, Ray.
It's real.
Yeah. So
and it's real.
It is. It's 100% real. And that's that thing. I think we should stop saying like the lights got to you. I really think we should say the pressure gets to you. That's more thing.
I mean, I feel like lights are just a metaphor for pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody necessarily believes it's the hot lights. Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is.
The lights do get hot, literally.
Yeah. I've been on record saying that the lights in the studios are pretty distracting sometimes.
And I've been on my fair share of stages in my time and. Mm-hmm. Sweat like a dude when I'm on those stages. So the lights do literally and metaphorically be hot.
Yeah.
So, but also I think it's the being under the lights got to you. I think it's a literal thing and a metaphorical thing.
Yeah. So any more notes that you have that you want to talk about? But before we move on to the next thing, any more things that.
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think we nitpicked enough. I think.
Anything that happened on SEN or backstage or... I don't think there was. I remember not watching backstage a lot because, you know, I've been tucking myself away in a cave, in a tree cave, you might say. Staying away from social media, staying away from, you know, I listened to a bit of the Twitter special of the tournament pre-tape, and I'm not gonna comment on that. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I listened to a little bit of it, but I'm just gonna
breeze on past it.
Breeze on past it. I'm just gonna not talk about it. I could have sworn there was something on SCN that was said about Christian or something. Anyways, but
oh well.
But next week's match for the first match in the first round of the tournament is Laura Kelly versus Sean Sullivan.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this match?
My thoughts are that I feel bad that everybody is automatically 100% overlooking Sean.
Yes.
I understand why it's happening because we've only seen Sean in one match.
We only have one match game tape on him, so.
He did not have, you know, the most perfect game.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking at Laura, who is coming off of a title shot with Alex. Mm-hmm. She obviously knows her stuff. Yes. She has shown that she knows her stuff, and she is somebody to watch out for.
Yeah.
For sure. But it just makes me feel, it makes me feel sad that everyone's just like, oh my God, Laura. Oh my God, Laura's the most amazing person ever. And Sean's just like, oh, cool.
Well, Sean's been talking a lot of smack. He's been talking a lot of smack.
And Jill has been too.
Yeah.
Because I saw on Twitter that Jill, Sean's lady, she was saying something. Laura tweeted something. I forget what she tweeted, but Laura tweeted something.
Yeah.
And then Jill replied saying that Sean was going to bust everyone's brackets. Yeah. And then, like, Shannon.
Queen.
Shannon just rolls into town.
Queen.
She just rolls into town like a tornado. And says something that I can't repeat on a family-friendly podcast.
We are family-friendly podcast, people.
But she, you know, painted a very graphic visual image of Sean. And I was just like, oh, my God. Shannon is just doing what she do best.
Yeah.
And she and Shannon made a comment about, you know, oh, wow, you know, nice that, you know, you're doing all the smack talk for Sean. Where is he? Why can't he do his own? Hey, so man,
he's busy.
He's busy. He's probably busy watching movies, you know. You know, it would be a crazy upset
I think, for Sean
to win.
I think if Sean wins this match, it is automatically upset of the year for me. I don't care what other matches happen. If Sean is able to win and beat Laura Kelly, even if it's in like by 1 point in sudden death, upset of the year. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah. I would find it hard to disagree.
Yeah, I don't care if like I don't know, like Stacey Howard beats Dan Merle. I don't care. Sean Sullivan over Laura Kelly is, and again, this is only basing off of what I've seen out of Sean in one
match. That's another tall order.
But like,
because Stacey Howard over Dan Merle, I would pee in my pants.
Don't listen to me. But like, you know,
I was exaggerating a little bit.
Like, but like, I don't care who else goes up. Like, oh, this person beats this person. Like, Sean beating Kelly is
huge.
It's
that
huge.
Would be gigantic.
It would be enormous. That would be the biggest bracket buster because nobody has Sean going into
this. I'm pretty sure he would break like 90 to 95% of people's brackets.
Yeah, I think the only people going for Sean in this match are the people in his faction, and that's pretty much it because there are polls out there. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Laura's pretty much only about like
overwhelmingly
the favorite. The favorite. So.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
Given the tape that we had on that we have currently on both of them, it's hard to bet against Laura in this matchup.
Yeah. Laura has what she has two perfect first rounds. I think she missed one in the title match.
No, she missed the bonus question.
So it's she has perfect but not flawless first rounds.
Yes.
But yeah, it'd be crazy. I'm going with Kelly on this one. Just
it's hard not to go with Kelly.
Like it, she knows she's a very, very tough competitor. If the arguably me and Sean have the hardest first rounds in this tournament.
When
you look at all the first rounds with Ace going up against Ken, Molly going up against Adam, me against Scrimshaw, and Sean against Laura, I would say Sean has the tougher first round, and right behind him is my match with Scrimshaw. I think he has a tall order.
I would agree. And then I think behind that would be Ken and Ace. And then behind that would be Molly and Adam. I think that Molly and Adam are a well-matched.
Yeah, that's a toss-up.
They're a well-matched match. I think it could honestly be a toss-up.
Yeah.
Ace and Ken, it seems lopsided. Mm-hmm. And I think that it kind of is.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the argument can be made that, you know, Ken's been out of it for how long?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is Ring Rust a thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have we really seen the best of Ace? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sean's got...
He's got one match of tape.
He's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah. I know this from personal experience, from two matches. Lore is definitely not to be underestimated.
No, no,
absolutely not.
Not at all.
She's a tough competitor to go up against, and it's like if Sean is able to beat her,
that would be tremendous. That's tremendous. Oh my god,
that's tremendous. And can you imagine that first round corruption out of the Star Wars tournament? No, and they're in second to last place, so you're missing out on all these points.
I'm just saying
that would be massive for the upset and massive for the scoreboards.
It's a tall order for Sean. Mm-hmm. It would be massive if he does it. Mm-hmm. You know, but if
we've seen crazier things happen.
We have seen crazier things happen. We've seen people do, you know, we've seen Andrew Guy and Dan Merle. That's
the de facto
golden example
of,
you know, a sure thing that was supposed to be.
I see Laura, but given that I know how much Sean is working, because he said so before, and I imagine all of the competitors are studying their buns off, family friendly.
Their buns. Their little booties.
But I would say this is like by 2 points or by 1 point.
I don't
see it going more than three.
I don't see it being, no. It's
I don't see it being decided more than 3 points.
It's going to be close. I do not think anything's going to be a TKO or a knockout. Mm-mm. So I do think, and I really hope it is going to be close. Yeah. I do not want to see blowouts.
No, I don't either. Because it bodes well for the division when all these matches are blowouts.
It's exciting.
Or not blowouts, or dragout fights.
Yeah.
So yeah, we both have Kelly going into the next for first round of the round.
I mean,
one.
I love Sean and Jill, but it's just it's hard.
It's hard to pick against.
It's hard
Kelly.
To not pick Kelly.
Yeah,
in that matchup.
But
again, prove me wrong, Sean.
Prove us wrong. You know? I'm pulling for Sean.
But it's, you know, Kelly, it's odds are in her favor.
It's Laura Kelly. Anyways, I think we'll end it there. We've got a full episode. So yeah. Nikki DiMolanto, where can they find you online?
Well, Twitter. I say things on Twitter. At Dimmy. DIMMMYYY.
We gotta get you more plugs. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at Drew DiMolanta, DIMALANTA. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe to this channel if you would like to support us. If you would be so kind, if you're an audio listener, go to wherever you find this podcast feed and rate us. It'll help us out tremendously. I think that was the wire, wasn't you? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was like, what do they do?
I thought I slapped your hand. Sorry. But yeah, rate us. It'll help us out.
It's a tender moment.
It helps us out tremendously. And if you do feel so inclined to join the Patreon, go to patreon.com/AndrewAndNikki. Become a member of the squadron. Thank you to all our patron supporters, especially our squadron commanders. Ferris Mathana and Alec Miller, thank you for your support to our squadron commanders.
Don't tax your brain thinking of names. We're only recalling Star Wars information right now.
But yes, thank you again for all of our squad mates for your continued support. We will be getting into the watch-alongs, the movie watch-alongs. Our first obviously will be Star Wars A New Hope, and I think we've already decided our second one, if you listened it for our patrons that... listen to our last play along.
Maybe.
I think it'll be fun. So we're gonna go to Star Wars.
I haven't seen it in a while.
And then we're gonna jump into Monster in Law.
So random.
Hey.
So much fun.
Love
though.
That movie. I love that movie.
Love that movie.
But yeah. So if you wanna,
I just wanna have a mimosa and eat brunch while I eat that movie. That movie. Watch that. Eat brunch while I watch that movie.
So if you wanna get in on those watch alongs, I think we're just gonna do them pre-taped. We won't do them. Doing them live is a whole other headache. So we'll do it pre-taped, and you can watch us. You can
watch us watch.
Or watch along with us. We'll cue you in on when to press play on the movie, and that's for our squadron captains at the $10 tier for all that. So $10 tier up and up, we'll get those watch alongs. And I have yet to post one of my short film journals. I think I'm gonna do one of those this weekend, so you'll get those for our squadron officers. But with that, we're gonna go ahead and end there. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Schmodown. We'll see you next time.
Next time.
You got it. Beyond me with that. Let's go.
Oh boy, missed my cue.